Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Saturday, June 27th, to have a special guest with us today. You may hear some voices in the background as Pastor Kenny Ortiz and I have a conversation together. He's going to read God's Word to us. He is the pastor of Horizon City Church, the church plant that we partner with in Orlando, Florida, to do our sports camp. So in the background right now, there are lots of children who are doing crafts, and Miss Jenny Pickett is teaching them about God's Word. Thank you, Pastor Kenny, for joining us. Thank you for reading God's Word. Thank you for leading people to know and love Jesus. We can't wait to hear your testimony at the end, but first, would you read God's Word to us today?
Thank you so much for allowing me to be on the podcast and for being with us here this week in Orlando. Our first passage of scripture is Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. One day, Moses had grown up. He went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he had went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" He answered, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Our second passage is Proverbs 17, verses 1 through 15. "Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. A servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully, and will share the inheritance as one of the brothers. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. Fine speech is not becoming to a fool. Still less is false speech to a prince. A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. A rebuke goes deeper in a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. An evil man seeks only rebellion, and a cruel messenger will be sent out against him. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. If anyone returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord."
Thank you so much, Pastor Kenny, for joining the podcast today. You shared with our team earlier in the week a little bit of your testimony, and it was so powerful to hear how God has worked in your life. Would you share that with those who are listening?
Absolutely. I love sharing how God has rescued me. I grew up in a home with no understanding of the gospel. Neither of my parents were believers. I didn't grow up going to church at all. I grew up in inner city Philadelphia. And when I was in second grade, there was a group of people from somewhere else. I don't know where they came from, actually. But they came and did a VBS program in my neighborhood. And that was the first time I ever heard about who God was. And the fact that God loves me, that God knows about the things in my life, that God cares about me. And it really cultivated me a desire to want to know more about God. I remember having conversations with some of the team members that week that were doing the VBS, and they were saying things that I just never heard before. I knew nothing about who Jesus was that was really the moment that God used to set me on a trajectory. Over the next several years, from my mid-elementary years into middle school, anytime I would bump into something of faith, I'd always be interested. I'd be interested to ask questions. If I met someone who said they were a Christian or religious, I would ask them questions. And I remember my mom asking me, why are you so interested in these things? And I told her it was that group that I was a part of, that VBS. I don't think I called it a VBS because I didn't know what that was, but that was the moment. So I told my mom that. I really sensed God pursuing me for several years. And then when I was 13, I met a guy by the name of Jim Roach. He was one of my classmates in eighth grade. And Jim invited me to church. And he said, you should come to church with me. I said, why should I come to church? And he said, well, there's a lot of pretty girls at church. That's why he's, I don't know why he said that, but that's what he said. I was like, okay, fine, I'll go to church. And I went to church. And it was really the first time where I felt like a lot of the questions that I had been asking was getting answered. And I attended that church for about 9 months on and off, and then came to faith in Christ. And right before I went into high school, in ninth grade, I put my faith in Christ and Christ alone. That was 30 years ago. And God has done tremendous work since then. But really, it was a seed planted at VBS when I was, second grader. And God used that to cultivate that, to cause me to want to respond to Him. And then I've lived for Him all the days of my life. I've never had a season where I've backslidden. That's just God's kindness and faithfulness to me. Certainly, I've had moments where I've not lived out the faith as the way as ought to, but God has been so faithful. I could sit here for hours and tell you about story after story after story of God's faithfulness to me. And I think about all the ministry that God has allowed me to do. I've been a pastor, a professor, served overseas, done a bunch of different stuff, and just in God's kindness, all of that because a group of people came to my neighborhood and shared the gospel with me when I was a young kid.
You know, that was so good for our group to hear, because it gives us hope that even if in that moment you don't feel like God is necessarily working or that you're making an impact, that His Spirit is always at work, and He is working in the lives of each of these children, and He's working in our lives as well. And so that's the powerful thing about coming on this family mission trip. Yesterday, you and I had a conversation, and you mentioned someone in church history of great importance, someone that you actually did your PhD work on. His name is Carl Henry. Can you give us just a quick overview of Carl Henry's life and why you were so drawn to him?
Absolutely. I love talking about Carl Henry. He was a journalist, actually, in the late 1920s, early 1930s, and came to faith in Christ in his 20s, and then went on to Wheaton, where he developed friendships with a lot of, would-be evangelical leaders like Billy Graham and others. God uses Carl Henry profoundly. He's he really is the most important evangelical theologian from World War II until 1980. He's the most influential American evangelical theologian. He is a part of the founding of Fuller Seminary in the 40s. He's a big part of the founding of Christianity Today in the 1950s. He's the first editor of Christianity Today. He also would serve as a professor at multiple schools around the country. He later in life worked with Prison Fellowship and Chuck Colson. But really, Carl Henry's legacy is that he mentored a bunch of guys. And so there's this crew of evangelical leaders that have had profound impacts on American society over the last 50 to 70 years. And it, in some ways, all roads kind of lead back to Carl Henry. The last thing I'll say about him is as you enter World War II in that era, evangelicalism really was in two camps. There was one camp really trending toward liberalism, meaning not political liberalism necessarily, but they had really kind of gone away from the real foundations of the faith. And then you had fundamentalism, which had good doctrine, but really were becoming militant toward culture, were very separatist. And so there was this either extreme right wing and this extreme left wing. There were people with good doctrine, but not very good social engagement. And there were people who had really good social engagement, but really bad doctrine. And Carl Henry, really, in my opinion, is the guy who is the primary, and he's not the only one, but he's the primary guy that God really uses as a catalyst to create this additional third movement in the post-World War era of Christians that say, we want to have good doctrine, but we have to engage culture. We have to meet people where they are. We have to care about the things that people are facing. that those of us who love the gospel recognize that the gospel has a social imperative, that it should motivate us to social action, to help those who are poor and needy and wrestling with various things in our culture. We can't just say, well, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, forget about it. No, Henry, amongst other guys, really challenged evangelicals to say, no, let's really engage the culture. And that dramatically changes evangelicalism. So things like even the ministry of Bill Bright and Chuck Colson and R.C. Sproul and many others are largely downstream of the ministry of guys like Carl Henry. And I think we owe those guys an incredible debt.
Pastor Kenny, would you share with us a spiritual practice that has impacted you and helps you in your walk with the Lord?
Really, for most of my Christian life, as simple as it sounds, I know this is going to sound like a broken record to people, but it's daily time in the Word. It really is just carving out time, even if it's just a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, even if you don't have hours and hours to study God's Word, just every day to pause at some point, settle myself, turn off the screens, turn off the music, and just open God's Word and allow the Lord to speak to me and to minister to me, to convict me, to encourage me. And then that often leads me into prayer, and the things I see in the Scripture leads me into praying. And then just recently, we've modified that where we're doing that with our family now. Every morning, our family gets together around the breakfast table and just read God's Word together with our little kids, our 5 and a 3-year-old and a baby. And we just read the Word together and just want them to recognize the power of God's written Word and what a gift it is that we have that.
Speaking of prayer, we want to know how we as a congregation can come alongside you in praying for you and Horizon City Church and in this next season.
We've experienced a little bit of a turnover. This is very normal in church planting. We're about a year and a half old, and it's very normal that the people who sort of help you get started will often move on, and that's perfectly acceptable. So we've had kind of an influx of new people that have come in from all different backgrounds, some people from Catholic backgrounds, people who are not believers, people from who are mature believers. And so really one of our biggest prayers right now has been, Lord, would you kind of help reunify as we've kind of had an influx, a little bit of a turnover? We really want to feel like a family. And so that is happening and we're thankful, but just continued prayers for that. And then secondly, we probably are going to make a pretty significant shift very soon, moving our space and moving into the community in which we've been kind of primarily ministering. And just really need, Lord, to provide the right resources and favor with people as we reach out to the Winter Garden community.
Pastor Kenny, we love your heart for this ministry, and we know that it can be such difficult work. So we want to thank you publicly for that and ask the Lord's blessings upon you. I think the last time you and I were on the podcast together, I prayed, but I would love to hear you lead us out in prayer.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness. I pray for Horizon City Church, the body that I have the privilege of serving and leading. I pray that you would help us to continue to be unified, knit our hearts together. May we truly be a family. As Christ says, that people will know us by our love for one another. I pray that we would love one another in such a way that others would come into the midst and they would see Christ on display. I pray the same for Mountain Brook Baptist Church. Would you continue to unify that church, and may the believers there love one another in such a way that it just astounds the unbelievers that observe them and watch their lifestyles. God, I pray as we make a move here at Horizon City Church, we're moving space. We meet on Sunday mornings. We move into a new community that we're focusing in on. Would you give us wisdom to know how to minister well? Would you provide all of the resources that we need? Would you give us favor with local leaders and families in a way that we could shout the goodness of Christ to those that we would interact with? Would you be pleased to glorify yourself through all that Horizon City does in the coming years? And the same, would you be pleased to glorify yourself through all that happens at Mountain Brook in the years to come? I ask these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
And as a special treat at the end, I have Letty, who is one of Pastor Kenny's children, and Ann Norwood and Watson Smith here, and they're going to tell us a little bit about sports camp and crafts. Okay, so Letty, what is your favorite thing about sports camp?
Craft and cheer.
Ooh, you like craft and cheer? What is the camp motto?
Jesus is the light of God.
Good job. And Norwood, what have we been doing this week as Mountain Brook Baptist?
We have been singing. We have been playing games and sharing the love of Christ.
Watson, every day there is a point of the day. Can you share the points that we've learned so far?
Jesus is God's promised son.
What is day two?
Jesus is God's perfect son.
And what was the point we learned today?
Jesus is God's powerful son.